and a good afternoon. 12:06, our time at AM 1380 WPHM. I'm Jim Matthews in the newsroom. Thanks for tuning in today, and welcome to this Friday edition of the Noontime Information Hour. Right now, we have mostly sunny skies, 79 degrees in downtown Port Huron. We'll take a full look at the forecast for you coming up in just a few minutes. It's going to get hot for us around here in the local area. Right now, time for the latest from the newsroom. And lots of memories today on former Port Huron Police Chief William Corbett. He died on Wednesday, or yesterday rather, at his home in Port Huron, having retired back in 2008. Corbett had survived political changes at City Hall, also led the charge for national accreditation of the local police department. We spoke with Sheriff Tim Donlin.
Guys like him always do the right thing, and they come out of things on the right side of stuff because they always do the right thing. You know, and you know, on the county level, we stayed out of that, some of the internal city politics. It just wasn't our spot. But, you know, I don't have the exact details of all of that. I recall it going on, but I just know that Bill wouldn't do anything but the most ethical thing. And, you know, if you stay that way, you'll come out of it okay usually. And he did. He had tremendous successes in all of his organizations, Detroit, Ann Arbor, the city of Port Huron.
Corbett also being remembered for helping the city through some of its darkest hours in the investigations of the Ajax Ackerman case. Funeral services are being handled by the Carr Simpson Funeral Home, and a 10 a.m. service is set for McMorrin Place. That'll be Monday morning. Trial proceedings are expected to be wrapping up today in the case for James Preston. He's one of the suspects in the Yale stabbing incident from last year. That attack left one man dead and his wife seriously injured. Also charged in the case is Tia Skinner, who's the daughter of the victims. Her trial is set for next month. Last month saw the first jury verdict in the case as Jonathan Kurtz of Avoca was convicted of open murder. He's now set for sentencing on the 25th and is facing mandatory life in prison. 47-year-old Paul Skinner was killed in the attack in his home November 12th. And his wife, Mara, a teacher in the Yale School District, was also seriously injured. Sinclair County Prosecutor Michael Wendling says the attack was planned after Tia was told by her parents not to associate with Kurtz. If convicted, Preston is also facing up to life in prison. Well, drivers traveling between Michigan and Canada can rest easy now as business is back to normal at the border crossings. After a nationwide computer outage brought border crossing operations to a standstill, U.S. Customs and Border Protection officials have confirmed the problem has been solved. Motorists in places like Detroit experienced delays lasting over an hour as border crossing agents had to manually input the information into their system. That caused a significant slowdown. That problem affected Detroit, Port Huron at the Blue Water Bridge, and up in Sault Ste. Marie, along with the crossings on the West Coast. 41-year-old Port Huron resident arrested last night for operating a methamphetamine lab. That lab was found in the 3800 block of Lapeer Road. That was during a narcotics investigation by the Sinclair County Drug Task Force. That lab, $273 in currency, marijuana, and some other analog drugs were confiscated in the raid. Officials say the suspect now lodged at the Sinclair County Jail awaiting formal charges. At WPHM News Time now is 12:10. You can expect to see the Three Blind Mice and Jack and Jill, Old King Cole, maybe even Little Jack Horner next week as the Port Huron Rotary International Day Parade steps off for its 91st year. Organizer John Adair tells us that Wednesday event next week keeps the same parade route as last year. Steps off at 6:30 p.m.
It is the exact same route as last year. The staging area is behind the YMCA along 3rd Street, and the parade will start right at the intersection of Military and Griswold. We'll head north through the downtown streets and we'll end at the intersection of Huron and Glenwood streets. Glenwood, of course, is closed heading west towards the college, so the parade route will not end at the college. It will end at the intersection of Huron and Glenwood. All the disband area will be that part of Pine Grove Avenue towards the hospital, and we'll disperse from there.
And Adair says that the Grand Marshal this year, originally meant to be Michigan Lieutenant Governor Brian Kelly, will now see the Wells Fargo stagecoach up front in the procession along with Mother Goose, as the theme this year for the parade is nursery rhymes. Over 100 entries are taking part this year, complete with clowns, marching bands, and lots of floats. This month, Michigan's organ donor registry is seeing a jump in people adding their names to that registry, according to the Secretary of State's office. Our Nikki Christie has details.
June saw a 25% jump from last year for people signing the donor registry list. This is the second consecutive month a major increase has been seen. May's numbers were up 20% from the last year, and the surge in registration is thought to be part of Johnson's new policy that began in April requiring employees at branch offices to ask customers if they want to sign up on the registry. Each organ donor could save 8 lives and change the lives of as many as 50 patients. Michigan Organ Donor Registry currently has 2.2 million residents enrolled, which adds up to less than one-third of the state's adult population. Anyone interested in joining the registry may sign up at the Secretary of State website at www.michigan.gov/SOS. I'm Nikki Christie with the Blue Water News Network.
Well, friends and family of former First Lady Betty Ford gathered in Grand Rapids on Thursday to say a fond farewell. At her funeral, her son, Stephen Ford, told the story about when he realized that he was an alcoholic and went to his mother for support. Former Vice President Dick Cheney's wife, Lynn, eulogized her friend, calling her completely unpretentious. Presidential historian Richard Norton Smith said that Betty Ford's honesty and openness about having breast cancer changed the way that the disease was talked about. Betty Ford died last Friday at the age of 93 of natural causes in California. Minority Democrats in the Michigan legislature not giving up yet in their effort to change the new redistricting map that was recently approved in the state legislature, as Tim Skubick reports.
Everybody in this town thought the redistricting debate was over, but House Democrats are hoping it is not. The bill has not landed on the governor's desk, and in the meantime, Representative Fred Durhall and others are asking the governor to intervene to revamp the plan, tilt it more in favor of the Democrats.
We don't want a lawsuit, and they don't want one either. It would not be a good thing for the state of Michigan. And so some cooler heads are working together to try to work some things out.
And you want to meet with the governor?
We want to meet with anybody, the governor, and who can help us get this matter resolved.
Detroit Democrats in particular believe they got the short end of the redistricting stick, and they would like to change that. Reporting from Lansing, I'm Kim Skubick, Michigan Radio Network.
Well, a new poll shows that if opponents of Michigan's law that gives sweeping powers to emergency financial managers who are appointed to save cities and school districts gathers enough signatures to challenge the law on the ballot, then voters would likely reject it. That poll by Lansing-based Epic MRA found that only 34% of likely voters said they would vote to keep the law. That compares to 53% who said they would vote to reject it. Under that law, emergency financial managers appointed by the governor have new powers that, among other things, enables them to tear up union contracts and authorize the scheduling of millage elections. The survey of 600 likely voters was conducted between July 9th and the 11th as a margin of error of plus or minus 4 percentage points. And that is the latest from the Blue Water News Network. Right now we have mostly sunny skies and we're 79 degrees in downtown Port Huron. Got a really nice weekend coming up and some hot weather for next week. We'll take a full look at the forecast for you coming up. WPHM News Time now is 12:15.
Get in the zone. AutoZone can help protect your